In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as we gather together today, we hear this passage of Jesus telling us a story about us being salt and light. And then he moves on from calling us salt and light and says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Clear, right? It makes perfect sense. We all understand what Jesus is saying, and you are ready to get out into the world and be salty and light-filled, right? All makes perfect sense to us. No, I mean, this is a slightly confusing passage, probably fairly well-known, but still a little bit confusing. What in the world is Jesus getting at with these analogies and with this statement that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, we'll never even see heaven? So usually I find when I'm confused what's going on, it helps to read before and see what was happening before we hear the passage of scripture we just heard. And that works today. If we go back to the beginning of this chapter, chapter 5, you will find out that we are right in the middle of something called the Sermon on the Mount. It's when Jesus calls disciples and others who are following him. He calls them together, and in Matthew's version, he goes up a mountain, and they all sit down, and he starts to teach. He starts to tell his followers what God's presence looks like here in this world. He starts to teach what God's presence would mean for real people in real life. And Jesus tells everybody who's listening, look, when God is present, it means that those who are mourning, those who are crying, they receive comfort. Look, when God is present, it means that the people who are poor and don't have what they need suddenly are blessed and shown honor. Look, when God is present, suddenly people who were forgotten and overlooked are suddenly recognized and seen as precious in God's sight. Look, when God is present, it means that people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for things being right in this world and not wrong, suddenly they will have this massive overflowing presence of things being right. Jesus goes on and on describing a world where suddenly in place of darkness, in place of despair, in place of anger and hatred and division, there is a world where there is love and peace and joy. That's a beautiful image. A world where there is peace. A world where love triumphs. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear a story like that about the world being led by God, I say, that sounds lovely. That doesn't sound anything like the world we live in. I mean, really, the world we live in is falling apart, right? Partisanship and bickering, tearing up speeches and yelling at people, signs of global climate change, wildfires. I mean, I know it's spitting snow outside right now, but generally an absent winter. Heritage Pond isn't even frozen this year, folks. Political systems literally falling apart. I don't think we have a final answer for what happened in Iowa. Can't even pull that off anymore, right? Flu pandemics here in the U.S., coronavirus over in China. Governments, instead of dealing with the issue, trying to cover things up. I mean, come on, the world doesn't look like what Jesus is talking about. It looks dark. It looks depressing. I mean, even in the world of sports, we just had a Super Bowl and the Patriots weren't in it. Mookie doesn't play for the Red Sox. Oh, you stop. The fact of the matter is, when we look around after hearing those words of Jesus that talk about joy and peace and goodness, it's like you get whiplash when you look at the world around us. And I need you to know that Jesus recognized that. Because the same was true for him. He didn't walk around with rose-colored glasses thinking the world was all wonderful and good. Everywhere Jesus went, he met the sick, the forgotten, the blind, the lame, the hurting, the fearful, the rejected. Everywhere Jesus went, he saw signs that God's reign hadn't fully shown up yet. He saw a world where God's dream had not been realized, but rather a world where the nightmare of humanity seemed to have hold. And that, it's at that place, the tension between God's dream and the reality of the broken darkness of our world, that today's reading comes in. And it's at that place that it starts to make a little bit of sense. You see, what Jesus is doing as he's talking about salt and light is he is calling his followers, the people who are walking and following in his ways, to start helping bring forth hope and love and peace and grace. He is calling you and me to be salt. I don't mean to raise blood pressure, of course, but I do mean to draw out flavor and joy and forgiveness and grace. He wants you and me to walk in the midst of a dark world and help people see there is God's presence. What's more, he wants us to go forth into that world and shine some light and some hope in the midst of hopelessness. Jesus knows what happens when institutions don't do what they're supposed to do. He knows that people just throw it out like bad salt. Anybody here ever have a box of like kosher salt and it gets wet and it like all binds together? It's kind of like ice that you keep in your freezer and it all binds together, right? It's not very useful. You can throw it on the ground and try to bust it up, but the fact of the matter is you're done with it. I think that when Jesus says, unless we are salty, we get thrown out, he's making a point we know very well. When people in this world stop trying to bring out goodness and joy, when they stop doing what they're supposed to do, we're done with them. How much do we trust politicians? How much do we trust institutions? How much does this world honestly trust the institutional church? No. Why? Because we lost our salt. Because we forgot. Our job isn't to go around telling other people to be salty. Our job is to help bring God's goodness and grace out into the world so that everybody can see it and so they can rejoice in it, so that there can be hope. Our job isn't to walk around and tell people what kind of light they ought to be and how they ought to shine. No. It's to reach out to people who are hurting, to pray for the sick, to visit the prisoner, to care about the forgotten. Our job is to be light. So we probably should take Jesus pretty seriously this morning when he tells us that we are to be salt, we are to be light, we are to bring goodness into this world. But let's be honest, even if this is a serious issue, even if we should take Jesus seriously, how in the world do we take our Christian faith and make it real? I mean, this world is tough, isn't it? It can be hard to figure out what I believe and how what I believe matters. When you hear about friends suffering from cancer, or you hear about somebody being evicted, or you hear about more violence, or you hear about depression or mental illness or addiction, it can be hard to figure out how my faith in Jesus can bring any hope. And yet Jesus says, be light, be salt. And so today I'd like to make a plug for our Lenten program. No, really, I would. Part of what we're going to try to do during this season of Lent is ask those questions. How does what I believe matter? How does it bring joy and goodness and hope into the world? How can I be salt? How can I be light in this world? We need to ask those questions, because when we as an institution stop bringing light and love, we're ready to be tossed out underfoot. So really, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, we're going to look at these questions. I hope you'll consider it. But I am not so foolish as to think that the only way we could take Jesus seriously this morning is by signing up for Lenten programs at St. Mark's Church. Though the bulletin board is right out in the Great Hall. I told you I'd get that in there, right? All right, yeah. No, I mean, the fact of the matter is we can all and go and sit and just wrestle with these questions. We can have conversations among ourselves. We can pray and ask God to open our eyes and open our hearts. There are so many ways for us to truly ask, how could I shine? How could I be salt? How could light and hope live within me? There are lots of ways to do that. But the thing is, Jesus says, we got to take it seriously. We need light. We need salt in the midst of this train wreck of a world. We need to shine with hope for ourselves, for our sisters and brothers, and for people outside these walls. We need to shine with love and forgiveness, because that is not the norm in this world. So friends, today, ask God to help your light shine. Ask God to help you be a person who can draw out hope in yourself and in others. Remember, we are called to hold each other up and to be of good courage, because Jesus, the light of the world, is with us, and he will not leave us, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how confused we might be. The light will shine in the darkness. The darkness will not overcome it. And we are to bear witness to that. Amen.